The victory of Cadel Evans at this year's Tour de France has made cycling more popular than ever in Australia. Enthusiasts in Lycra are expected to be hitting the road in unprecedented numbers, and the sport's Olympic cousin, track cycling, also stands to gain from Cadel mania. But it seems controversy is never far away from the sport, and all is not well at the home base of Australia's successful track cycling team in Adelaide. Documents obtained under Freedom of Information have revealed safety concerns at the Australian team's training headquarters, and these revelations came to light as part of ongoing inquiries about the ownership of groundbreaking bicycle design. Now, ABC Radio National's James Panicki has been investigating the story for 2 years, and he's filed this report on the latest developments for Saturday Extra.
Yep! Yep!
It's another tough early morning training session at the Adelaide Superdrome, home to the Australian track cycling team. As the athletes are put through their paces on the track, there's plenty going on beneath the velodrome as well.
Taking into the running day-to-day workshop, we have generally in our day-to-day workshop about 15 to 20 bikes, all made by BT, our current bike sponsor.
I've been led down under the main stand to the Australian team workshop. This is the lab which maintains the high-tech bicycles used by Australia's top Olympic athletes. Stuart Smith is one of the mechanics with the Australian cycling team. On a visit last year, he walked me through the workshop as part of research into an unrelated story.
What we can do here is pretty well everything. Anything that needs fabricating, we have a 6-foot lathe, we have milling machines, sandblasters, TIG welders, MIG welders, mitering machines, spray booth. We can do all carbon fibre repair, paint work, anything we need to build out of aluminium.
It's a workshop overflowing with equipment to make, paint and repair world-class track bicycles, all worth hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Well, our sprinters, when they go to Japan, have to ride steel frames in the National Japanese Kirin Association.
The Superdrome is owned by the South Australian government, while the federal government's peak sports agency, the Australian Sports Commission, employs the team mechanics and leases office space, as well as this cavernous workshop beneath the stands. To complicate matters, the facility is managed by Australia's peak cycling body, Cycling Australia, which also owns the bicycles. So there are three players at the velodrome. The workshop is controlled by the Commonwealth Government. However, the Sports Commission, the ASC, says much of this equipment belongs to third parties, as made clear to me in an email.
The 6-foot lathe is not ASC property, but we are not authorised to disclose details of equipment owned by third parties. The milling machines are not ASC property. The drill press is not ASC property.
Documents obtained under Freedom of Information reveal that in August 2009, the Commonwealth Workplace Safety Organisation ComCare inspected the workshop after concerns were raised over the storage of flammable paints. The ComCare inspectors say in their assessment that they had, quote, concerns with poor housekeeping practices and what they described as heaps of hazardous substances being stored. The ComCare inspectors also identified a number of other occupational health and safety concerns, including a lack of safety exits, equipment which hadn't been serviced, a lack of compliance plates on large machinery, the absence of visible operating procedures, and oxygen cylinders which were not secured.
Wow, what's in here? It just goes on and on.
It does.
We're going down
the dungeon.
Down into a dungeon.
It's referred to as the dungeon, a storage area with rows of highly valuable bikes, some of them dating back to the 1996 Olympic Games. In its assessment, ComCare had this to say about the dungeon.
The area was originally discovered by chance. I'm not sure if this is part of their tenancy, but they use it anyway. The steps were of concern to me because Australian Institute of Sport employees are using them to work in this area. And again, this is a pitch dark area with no exit lighting.
The ComCare document also revealed that the person who reported the workshop safety concerns was a business associate of a largely unknown Adelaide engineer by the name of Lloyd Pope. The request for a ComCare inspection was part of an attempt to find out more about an enduring mystery in Australian track cycling, a racing bike dubbed the Elliott Flyer.
And the Australians approaching the line, and gold to the Australian pursuit team. They picked up their fourth gold medal.
In the late 1990s, the managers of the Australian track cycling team were looking for a new bike design to take to the 2000 Olympic Games. They were approached by Lloyd Pope, whose engineering company Pope Group was searching for a sponsorship deal. Pope offered to provide the Australian track cycling team free of charge with a state-of-the-art computer-generated bike design. The design software alone was worth over $100,000. The design was Lloyd Pope's tribute to his young son Elliot, who died in the 1990s, thus the Elliot Flyer. The bicycle was to be used exclusively by Australian athletes at the 2000 Games, after which Lloyd Pope would be free to commercialise his design. Cycling administrators, including staff members of the Sports Commission, jumped at the opportunity. A sponsorship contract was drawn up and signed on the 11th of May 1999. There were four parties to the contract: Pope Group, the Sports Commission, Cycling Australia, and a company which would later establish Bike Technologies. The signatory for that company was Salvatore Sansonetti, a former Australian Olympic cyclist whose tool-making company in Melbourne was contracted to build the bike from the design provided by Lloyd Pope. Intellectual property lawyers who have seen the document believe it might not have been watertight, but it's clear that Pope had wanted to limit the number of bikes manufactured. Here's an example of the clauses which appear on almost every page of the contract.
The program sponsor shall retain its own copyrights and intellectual property used in its contribution to the Team Bike 2000 program. Pope Group shall have the legal, equitable and proprietary rights to all processes, designs and other intellectual property created in the process. Pope Group retains all copyrights and intellectual property, including pending and subsequently approved patents, including, but without limitation to, the bicycle design and manufacturing process.
But within days of the bike's computer coordinates being handed over, something strange happened. The bike was rebranded BT, short for Bike Technologies, which went on to become Sansonetti's bike-making company. And the BT was being mass-produced. The success of Salvatore Sansonetti's BT is discussed in this SBS television report.
In this small factory in Melbourne, around 600 are produced every year, with each one costing up to $25,000.
To ride a bike is pretty simple, but to design and manufacture, it's a little bit more complicated. You're in the business of trying to please everybody, but when you ride, you only please yourself.
Weighing only 7.2 kilograms, they're the only one-piece bike frame in the world. The results speak for themselves. More than 100 world championship and Olympic gold medals have been won on their bikes.
Some of those gold medals were won by the Dutch cycling team, which was fitted out with BTs before most Australian riders had even seen the bike. The New Zealand team also ordered a batch. In fact, the design was so successful that even athletes in the US started to ask for BTs. Dutch cycling manufacturer Koga Miata received a shipment of bikes from Australia and rebadged them with its own livery, something which is illegal under Olympic regulations.
7-5-1. She has beaten her by a margin of 5.4 seconds. Leontien van Morsel-Zilliard, the gold medalist in the women's 3-kilometre pursuit.
As all of this was happening, high-ranking sports administrators in Australia had established the Cycling 2000 Management Committee. The committee included the Australian Olympic Committee, the AOC, Cycling Australia and the Australian Sports Commission. One of the committee's purposes was to attract funds to design a bicycle for Australian athletes. The AOC allocated $424,000 for the development of a new track bicycle, despite the fact that both Cycling Australia and the Australian Sports Commission had just signed a deal to obtain a design free of charge. Cycling Australia's annual report from that year acknowledges it received $187,000 from the AOC for the design of a bike, but that leaves $237,000 of Olympic funding apparently unaccounted for. And while the Sports Commission now claims it has never had a sponsorship agreement with Bike Technologies, the Australian team has used virtually no other brand for the past 12 years. Here's part of my conversation last year with Australian team coach Gary West.
What kind of bicycles are they riding?
Handmade bicycles. We have a supplier in Melbourne, BT Cycles, BT Cycling. bike technologies. They hand make our carbon fibre track bikes for each athlete. They're one-offs. They're very expensive.
How expensive?
To buy the bike would be in the order of, you know, $9,000 to $11,000. That's with wheels and handlebars and seats, etc. So it's not cheap. They're obviously, you know, cheaper entry level bicycles that are available, but for the national team and the AOS squad who are competing internationally, we need to be competing on equipment and bicycles that are going to be very competitive.
When the inconsistencies between international sales of the BT bike and the contract the Sports Commission had originally signed with Pope Group became apparent, a climate of deep mistrust developed within the highest cycling administration circles. The Sports Commission's lawyers took over and the dispute simmered out of public view. Numerous Freedom of Information requests with the Sports Commission have identified 48 documents surrounding the original sponsorship deal and the flurry of activity which followed it. The Commission has denied access to the documents on a number of occasions, either on the grounds of commercial in confidence or privacy concerns for third parties. But after more than a decade of a lack of transparency about the world-beating bike, there's a development. The Office of the Information Commissioner has decided to review the Sports Commission's decision to withhold the relevant documents. An unexplained chapter in the colourful history of Australian cycling may soon be able to be written.
James Panicki reporting. Libya after the news, ABC Radio National. It's now news time, 8 o'clock.